last verse when it says, among thy chosen will I be, what we believe is that if you are saved, you are the chosen.
Amen.
All right? So that statement is correct, and it's not reflecting a Calvinistic position. All right? So just wanted to make sure everybody understands that. Those of you who have been coming here a long time know about that. So, okay, let's have a quick word of prayer. Jason, would you mind leading?
Father, thank you for the chance to have the evening service. Thank you for those who came out. Thank you for those who wanted to come out and worship you on a Sunday night. There's a lot of things could be going on. So thank you for this time, and thank you for a chance to remember what your son did for us on the cross. And none of us deserve it, and we know it. But you sent your son because you loved us, and he loved us too. We pray that what we do, that everything be done in remembrance of that time. And we pray you bless us this time together to help us teach, be in right fellowship with you, and examine ourselves, that we all partake worthily together around the table. And we pray that you would bless the time of singing and preaching as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. 333. Good old song. It's just like Jesus. The main announcement I have, we just found out this afternoon, and this will be the first time I mention it. Brother Welton has agreed to come back the first Sunday in November. All right. We will have three services again. I feel really bad, but he's only able to come by himself. The rest of the family can't be here. But we're sorry about that. But I trust that things will go well anyway, and that we'll all receive a blessing. Just so you can prepare ahead of time, at the end of the morning service, we will have a brief time where any can ask him questions if they have about where he stands on issues and things like that. So if you have questions that you'd like to ask him, we'll take those at the end of the morning service on the first Sunday of November. Okay? So any questions about that? Okay. And like I said, we will have an evening service that day as well. All right. I think that's all the announcements that I am aware of at the moment. I think most of you know this already, but I'll update the announcement on the calendars. All of you, I think, are aware that the 2021 calendars came out. We now have them in two places. On the sound, the table next to the sound booth, as we had it previously, and there's also a box up here on the side of the platform, as we have done in the past, with calendars in them. Take as many as you need. If you would like to send them out to friends or relatives that aren't in the general area, please let either Sam or Jim know there in the back, and we have envelopes that, for you that you can use for that purpose. Okay. Yes?
You might want to mention that November 1st is time change Sunday.
You're correct. Thank you for mentioning that. It's a good thing to fall back on, is it not? So, yes, hopefully each one of us will get an extra hour of sleep that night, Saturday night or Sunday morning. That's always a good thing. Unfortunately, we pay for it in the spring, though. But that's all right. Okay, just a moment here. I'm going to say a special. Just need to let her listen here.
Crucify him, he's to blame. Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the king." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels His mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone.
Get to do specials. This is one of my favorites that I really like to do. All right, we're going to do one more song before Brother Welton comes to speak. Number 341. 341. Saved, saved.
I love to tell how he led and guided me.
to me, is something very sacred, taking the Lord's Supper. And so I'm not going to per se preach a message, but I would like to look at a few verses of Scripture, and as we look through it and read through it, just for us to think and meditate on, number one, what our Savior's done for us, and also where we stand with Him this evening, that I believe as Jason prayed, the Lord's Supper can be taken unworthily. And so I take it very serious, and this is the first time I've ever administered it or we're in a position like this. So I just like to look at these Scriptures this evening. Before we look at them, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, O God. We thank You again, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, just the opportunity and the freedom to come together again this evening, Lord, to partake in this Lord's Supper, Father. I pray, Lord, You'd help us to examine ourselves, help us to see truly where we stand with You, God. If there's anything that needs to be made right, I pray You'd help us to do so. And Lord, help us just to see clearly this evening, Lord, again, afresh and anew, what You did for us on that cross. Lord, how You were willing to die for our sins, dear God, and pay that great price, and become sin for us that we might become sinless in Thee, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that You just help us to lead God, and direct us this evening, Lord, and everything that's said and done, You receive the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start this evening in Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. And in Matthew 26, the Lord asks His disciples to go and prepare the Passover that they may partake of it. And in Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 26, the Bible says here, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body.' And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in My Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into Mount of Olives." Now, if you take your Bible and look at Romans chapter number 8, Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. So the Lord pulls His disciples apart there, with even Judas in the midst of them. And He proceeds to take the cup and the bread and give it to His disciples. And it's a very serious matter. And the Lord said to do it in remembrance of Him. And so before we look at some other scriptures, the first thing I want to look at is true salvation in Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord's Supper is completely symbolic. Okay, now we're eating bread and we're eating the grape juice or drinking the grape juice, and it is purely symbolic. That is not the actual flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor the grape juice, the actual blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Catholic Church teaches. I believe it's completely symbolic, and I believe it's to be done in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us, so that we keep our, like we've said this morning, that we keep our eyes and our mind and our heart on Him until He returns. That blessed hope. And not be swayed by what this world's doing or how the turn in the direction that this world is going. A Christian ought to go in a direction of his Savior. And I believe the Lord gives us this to keep this thing in the forefront of our mind of why we're here and why we're living. But Romans chapter 8, verse number 9 says this: "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." So this evening, before we take the Lord's Supper, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Verse number 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Does his spirit dwell within you? And does his spirit this evening bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 5. So if his spirit bears witness with your spirit, and you're a child of God, and you've been born again, you've been converted into the family of God, then Paul states here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5 that we're to examine ourselves. He says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Is Jesus Christ within you this evening? And have you examined yourself? And I would ask you as a brother in Christ that before we partake of this, that you will take some time to examine ourselves. Now look, the Lord's not looking for everything to be exactly perfect in your life. Okay? Some people could look so inwardly at themselves and say, well, I'm not worthy to take it. No, I believe what the Bible's talking about here in 2 Corinthians, what Paul's looking at is known sin in your life that you know is there that you have not made right. Okay? What if God reveals something to you and he's bearing witness with your spirit saying, sister or brother, you need to make this thing right before you do this evening, then you need to make that thing right. But if it's just a matter of you thinking that you're just not worthy of us, ain't none of us think that we're worthy enough to take this. Outside of Christ, we're not, but in him we are, and he commands us to do so. So I wanted to clarify that. So take your Bible and look at Galatians chapter number 5. So we're to examine ourselves. Well, how can we examine ourselves? Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. It says here in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, and envying one another. So these are some lists of things that Paul gives in a believer's life if they're living in the flesh that needs to be made right. And I believe needs to be made right before you take the Lord's Supper. Lastly, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 26. As I was thinking about it this week when, I believe it was Brother Jason said that you all were going to take the Lord's Supper this evening, I thought it just proper in my mind, like I said, I've never done this before, but just to read through the Lord being crucified and to think of what he went through for us. Not so much the cross and the physical pain he suffered, but the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we, us, may be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin for us. I believe so more than the pain that he felt on the cross and his hands being pierced and his feet being pierced and the crown of thorns being platted on his head was the thought of him becoming sin for us and that fellowship with the Father that he's always had and it's never ever been broken. That moment when he becomes sin for us and he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Brethren, if there's anybody in this world that's ever loved us, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing we could ever go through in our life that He has not gone through, or He cannot bear witness with, or He cannot come alongside with us and say, I know what you're going through. He became forsaken that we may never be forsaken. And it's a wonderful thing. So Matthew chapter 27, verse number 26. I'm not going to read the whole account. But Matthew chapter 27, verse number 26. The Bible says this. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. They wouldn't have believed him. They wouldn't have believed him if he came down from the cross. Verse number 43, He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they had heard that, said, This man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. I'd like this for us now to take some time to pray and to think about what our Lord's done for us before we go forward and take the Lord's Supper. And I'll look at the verses there in 1 Corinthians 11 as we partake of it. So let's just take a few moments just in silent prayer and I'll close it. Heavenly Father, I just want to take some time this evening, Lord, just to thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die for our sins. Lord, just the opportunity this evening, dear God, to take part in what you commanded us to do so in the Lord's Supper. Father, I pray we take it reverently, Lord, that we'd examine ourselves, dear God. And Lord, help us, Father, Lord, as we partake of it, dear God, to think and remember what you went through on that cross for our sins. Lord, I pray that as we partake of this, dear God, that it would be something that would help us to just draw closer to you in these last days, Father. Lord, that we would just be about your business, that we would just stay faithful to you, Lord. Lord, we would just finish that course that you have for us, dear God, that we may be pleasing in your sight, Lord, and that we may bring pleasure to you in all that we do and say. I ask this all now in the Lord Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 23. Paul states here, he says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." Lord, again, just thank you for this opportunity, Father. Pray now, Lord, hand out this bread, Father, and just think about what your body went through on that cross, Lord. Your side was pierced, your hands were pierced, your feet were pierced, Lord. How you shed your blood for our sins, dear God. And pray now, Lord, just bless this time. In Jesus' name.
Again, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, just to thank you again, Father, now for this cup. Lord, I pray that this new word will be unto thee, Father. Help us remember the blood that you shed for us. Lord, that we be glorified in it, Father. Lord, we wouldn't take it for granted, but take it unworthily. Lord, we truly think about what you did for us and how you shed your blood for our sins. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, to see you. Privilege and honor, Lord, that you would allow us to do this, Father. Thank you again, Father, for all that you've done for us. Lord, your mercy, your grace, your compassion, your long suffering to us. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, we don't deserve you sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we don't deserve to go to heaven, yet you love us anyways, dear Father. We thank you for it, Lord. And I pray what we did this evening, Lord, would help us to remember you through this week. That we think about what you did for us on that cross. Lord, times when we feel like giving up, quitting. Lord, times when we may have an attitude or do something we ought not to do, Father, I pray we quickly unto you and find forgiveness in your precious Son. Lord, help us to walk worthily before you in these last days. Dear Lord, help us to be a light. Help us to be a testimony. Help us to fight a good fight. Lord, to you call us home, Father. Lord, I believe it's my desire, I believe it's the desire of the brethren here, Lord, that someday you may look at us and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to live in the light of that, and bring you pleasure, glory, and honor. We just ask this in the precious name of thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Trust to see you again here soon.